Well, let's read this passage. I think Susan's going to put it on the overhead about charity. There's what I've done is kind of listed these. I think there's at least 15 different characteristics of charity, and we're talking about the one in green there. It's envy. Isn't that funny that envy's usually associated with green, isn't it? Or green with envy or something? I don't know if that's true, but yeah. So thank you, Susan, for being here. And it's good to have a couple ladies. So, Brenda, you're not the only lady here. And Pam Cox is out there working already. So we got a few ladies. But we'll read this, and then at the end of these four verses, I'll say a word of prayer again. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in prayer. We know you hear and answer prayer. I lift up this work day to you. I lift up this devotion. We pray for ears to hear and hearts to apply, and just keep us safe today. Thank you for a safe place to meet. We thank you for our pastor who couldn't be with us today. Pray your blessing on him and the celebration of life that he's working with today. I pray hearts will be open to his message. And just anybody else that's coming, pray they can get here safely. And Lord, be with this group even now as we talk about charity. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this third or fourth item in, so this is March, so I guess January must have been suffereth long, is long suffering, and I know Jamie Davis had is kind. That was last month, I guess. And then, so this is the third month of the year, so we're talking about envieth not, or we're talking about envy. And so the Bible, I don't know if you can tell, but God personifies charity. It says, it talks about being a her, like even a feminine characteristics. So God is kind of personifying, making this charity, this entity. And the reason I think that God talks about it in a female sense is that it's submissive to him. The charity comes from him. Even in the Proverbs, it talks about wisdom, have her perfect work, or patience being her. And there's several characteristics like this that are personified in the Word of God. So it's really cool to think about these things. And so my kind of thesis for this is that Christians must war against envy as we build charity into our lives. And so if you want to be a charitable person, then envy can't be part of the equation, right? We have to, and it's neat how God kind of works on, if you've ever taught the Bible or in any capacity, you know that you learn more than the people you're trying to teach. And so God kind of pricked my heart at an issue, and Jason's dad's not here, but I shared it with Jeff, just something that I struggled with just even a month ago, even before I knew I was teaching this. And now that I learned this topic, I was like, okay, that's what that was. I talked to Jeff Trude about envy, because I was envious of another just some fruit in somebody else's life, I guess, is how I should say it without, full disclosure. But so this thing of envy, it's in the Bible 40 times. And, we know the number 40 is a number of proving. So I thought it was really cool that some form of the word envy is in the Bible 40 different times. And the first mention I'll have Susan put up here, it's about Isaac, and it says the Philistines envied Isaac. It says, for he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. And so kind of a definition of envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness. We're familiar with that word, with regard to another's advantages, success, or possessions, etc. And so we kind of know what envy is, but it has to do with covetousness, wanting something that we don't have, wanting something that someone else has. And so the Philistines were envious, and it's interesting that, the Philistines, they had their own gods and false worship, and Isaac is a type of Christ. So this is going to be kind of a predecessor of the Jewish leaders actually delivered Jesus because they were envious of him. So by the time you leave here today, you'll think the reason the Jews betrayed Jesus is because of envy. So, you know, whatever reason you think Jesus was delivered to the Romans for, it was because of envy. And we'll see that here in just a minute. So another example of envy is it says that Rachel saw that she bare no children. She bare Jacob no children, and Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And so some, you know, if a lady might be barren, she might be envious of ladies that have children. Envy can lead to wrath or anger or even killing or murder. Job 5:2 says, for wrath killeth the foolish man and envy slayeth the silly one. And this next one is from Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? So this is, you know, envy can lead to other things, right? Envy affects our desires. In Psalm 73:3, he says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And we're, you know, you might feel that way yourself, that you're envious if other people are prosperous. Proverbs 24:1 says something similar. It says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. And then another one is envy affects our choices. In Proverbs 3:31, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. So there's a choice there. So you don't envy the oppressor, and don't even choose the way that the oppressor acts, none of his ways. So where does our envy come from? And in Proverbs 23:17, so this is just kind of a word study on envy, but envy comes from the heart, and that's not surprising. But it says here in Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And so we're getting some clues here about how to work on our heart. If we're envious of something, maybe we need to be more in the fear of the Lord and choosing his ways instead of being envious of the oppressor or envying sinners. And so now I thought I'd give you kind of a definition of jealousy, because this was kind of confusing to me, kind of the difference between envy and jealousy. But I'll just read you this definition, then I'll give you kind of my version. Definition of jealousy is suspicious fear regarding love. Suspicious fear regarding love. And so that's still a little bit confusing. So I look at envy as maybe wanting something that other people have, whether it be success or wealth or fame or popularity. But jealousy is kind of like being jealous of something that's yours. Like, you know, if someone's flirting with your wife, right, that creates a sense of jealousy. Well, this is my wife, you know, things like that. And, you know, the Bible says God is a jealous God. So jealousy can be a good thing. And let's see what I put here. There's a place where King David was very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. That's in 1 Kings. And Paul was jealous over the church at Corinth with a godly jealousy. So jealousy can be a godly thing. But charity cannot be envious, though. It cannot covet it and want what God has given to another. Does that make sense? And so here's the verse. There's two verses in our Bible where Jesus was delivered to the Romans for envy. It says in Matthew 27:18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And then almost the same wording in Mark 15:10, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. And so just kind of highlight that in your mind, that they were so, you know, they were a religious people. They, I mean, Jesus had the power of God. He was speaking truth, and You know, they had a religious system that that didn't connect with. He was fulfilling the law that they were trying to teach that you really can't keep. And Jesus was giving them the spirit behind the law, right? The law says this, but I tell you this. And the law says don't do that, but I'm telling you this. And so they became very envious, and they were going to stone him. And at one point, so they just delivered him to the Romans, because according to their law, they couldn't put a man to death for these things, but they did it for envy. And then just a few more things. There's a list at the end of Romans chapter 1, and there's like 22 things that the Bible says are unrighteous, and one of them is envy. And it says here in Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. And so envy is unrighteous. And then it also says it's part of carnality in 1 Corinthians. It says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And it's also in the list of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so the envy is unrighteous, it's carnal, it's a work of the flesh. And it affects our choices. It can lead to wrath, and it affects our desires. And so now I'll just give you kind of a conclusion to this before our work day here. And so we all need to be careful of this little four-letter word, this word envy. And I'll have Susan put up James 4:5. It's actually once I saw that, so it's kind of connected to end time. You know, we're watching the war with Iran and the things going on in the news. But here's a verse about end time. It says, do ye think that the scripture saith in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. And I thought, where does it say that in scripture? Because James is writing it like his audience should know where it's talking about this at. And in your cross-reference in your Bible, it gives you Genesis 6:5, and Susan will put this up there. It says, and God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So James, he's saying that you've heard this scripture, that the spirit that dwelleth, it lusteth to envy, and the cross-reference is back here to Genesis 6, before God destroyed the earth with a worldwide flood. It says that at that time, the imagination of their heart was only evil. So they had this envy that was evil. It was in their heart that God brought about destruction and the flood of Noah because of this thing that envy was in there. And when it says the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy, it's talking about the human spirit. So you can get so envious that you begin to lust and want things that are not yours. And it's evil, and it's in our heart. And so let me leave you with a couple things that we can use to overcome envy in our own life and obtain this charity that we all need. And it says here in 1 Peter 2, and most of you will be familiar with these two verses, it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envyings and all evil speaking. And then look, it says, as newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So the way we lay aside that envy and this malice and guile and these things of our heart is we need to, instead of desiring things that God didn't give us, we need to desire the Word of God and have that milk. and be nourished in truth and just lay aside those other things. And so I thought that, and do you know that's the very last mention of the word of envy in the Word of God is here in 1 Peter 2 that we just read. So the first mention is the Philistines lusted, or they are envied Isaac. And here, the last mention is how we overcome envy is desiring the sincere milk of the Word. So that's the main thing that I wanted to share. And then I thought this was interesting. I've got this, because I really look at charity as almost like a thermometer. That's what I tried to draw here was a thermometer with all these. You know, if we want our charity to be full, then these characteristics, you know, should be active in our lives. And one is not envy, so we can lay aside by the Word of God. But I thought I'd talk just a minute about charity, because if any of you have ever been to a wedding, a lot of times they say that 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter on love, right? You may have heard that, and you know, the King James uses the word charity, and a good definition of charity, so charity is love, but it's more than that. Charity is a giving love. You know, we even say that, so like I'm the leader of Life Issues. It's a non-profit charitable organization, so you can give to charity, right? You might have a charity that you give to. And because that's what charity is, it's a giving love. So if you have charity, you'll be like God so loved the world he gave. He was charitable to us in that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so, Susan, would you put up that 1 John 4:8? So hopefully you can follow me. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So this charity is a godly characteristic, and God is love. And then put up that Zephaniah. This is there's one more verse that I want us to look at. Look here, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. And then look at that. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. So if charity never faileth and God is love, it says he never faileth. And so I just kind of keyed on these words, you know, charity never faileth, and God is love, and he never faileth. I just thought that was such a cool cross-reference, because, you know, if you're like me, you've failed before, right? you know, and I hate to fail at certain things. Now, you know, Luke is my son here, and he would probably tell you, and they like to play board games, but I really don't care if I lose at those things. But when it comes to Bible stuff, or even like today's work day, I'm pretty zealous toward that. I'm like, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to tear up the building. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want to fail today in this work day, right? Because those are things that I really care about, the things you love. And so maybe you feel like a failure in some way today. Regardless of the reason why, just begin building charity into your life, because God and charity never fails. Amen. And so that's just kind of my highlight of that, Brady. So is there any thoughts or questions before I kind of move on to the work day?
The Genesis
6:5, that was the cross reference to that one. Kind of blew me away, because I'm like, what does James mean here that the spirit lusteth the envy? And then I realized, well, it's the human spirit, and it's in our heart. It's kind of like it was back in Genesis before the flood. It was only evil continually. So anyway, thank you. Anybody else or any other thoughts? So let's talk about the work day here, and I'll have Susan put up this little, I don't know if it, who all, I think most, some of us know what we're doing, but some of us do not. So let me go over this, and I highlighted the names of the person kind of responsible, and my wife is going to bring lunch here. She's got some great little Hawaiian sandwiches with we covered them last night, and she's cooking them this morning. So if you're still here at 12:30, regardless of what you're doing, if you can just kind of stop and come in at 12:30 for lunch, we'll feed you lunch here. Do we want to leave the table set up? We'll probably eat in there. I think right after we meet right now, we kind of need to break this down. So this part's not on there, but I think Gary, Chris Cohen's cleaning team is going to clean today. Do you know what time he's going to come?
He said 9:30.
9:30. So any time now, Chris will be here. And I know Chuck was going to help with that. So after I'm done talking here, if you can kind of help break down these tables and chairs, and we'll vacuum this area. And so we'll do that first before we go to work day. And then, so number one item there is the mulch out by the sign. And so, our goal every year we put out about 10 yards of mulch.